Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Well, this, of course, is the last program for the month of August. In September, next week, that is, we return to our usual fare, but this is the last program in our summer series. Now, something that many people around the world take for granted is renting an apartment. Okay? Young couples, even who are deciding not to get married, it was quite easy, actually, for many people in many places around the world, except for India. In Mumbai, young couples struggle to find rent, to rent a flat unless they are married. Nicole and Aji, both in their mid-20s, met in Mumbai, the city of dreams. They began dreaming about one day living together, but as the couple is not married to each other, the housing system does not allow them to find a flat to rent together. So how do they get around it? How do not just them, but other millions of people get around it? Here's Shirley Abram.
My name is Nicole Aboud. I'm 23 years old. My parents migrated about 30 years ago from a village in Syria to Los Angeles. And they primarily came to Los Angeles, not just because it's considered the city of dreams, but there's actually a decent amount of Syrian population there. They found the local church that is Greek Orthodox, which is our religion. And so they needed to find all of these comforts before they moved in. Even my mother had a second mother, like just living up the street from us, like 15 minutes away. And she's like someone who would be like her mother's age. And so these things needed to be established for them to be happy. When I made the decision to come to Bombay, I know that there's no Arab culture here. And I'm not really gonna find people who speak my mother tongue. So all of these hopes that my parents had to place in their lives strategically, I could not do right off the bat. My idea of finding home and comfort came through just personal connections. That's all I could have. And Ajit was the first connection I made with someone here, and I didn't let go of that. And I really didn't let go of that. There's Ajit! This is Ajit, my partner, my...
In crime.
Yeah, partner in crime, actually. Partner in disguise, because he'll call me the love of his life, so...
Oh.
Oh. Don't act all shy now, huh?
So I just woke up one day and found there's something called TEFL in Teach English as a Foreign Language. It was a 3-week course in Mumbai.
Never thought I would meet someone who's active in the film industry as I wanted to be active in the film industry in a TEFL course, you know? But it is Mumbai, so city of film, I guess.
Then we introduced each other and then she said, well, what are you doing? I said, I work in the Hindi film industry. She was like, oh, Bollywood. I said, yeah, people call it that.
No, he got so mad. He was like, there's no such thing as Bollywood. And I was like, look, there is such thing. Whether it's right or wrong is a different argument. And so I thought this is one of those guys, those kinds of filmmakers. Oh, I work in Hindi films. But we decided to have lunch together and that was nice. After class, we started hanging out and he started showing me around the city. It was very, you know, like a Bollywood film on the
song. Even Hindi films. So she said she'll come over to my place. And I said, oh, fine, theek hai. So I was just like keeping the owner in the lookout saying, you know, you're aware that my friend is coming. There's no problem. So he was like, no, Ajit, no meeting any girls or anyone in my property.
Yeah, like, said it like
not
that.
At all. Not even meeting. I said, she's just going to come, meet me and go. That's it. She's not staying over, nothing, nothing. I said, Ajit, you go out and meet. Don't meet in my property. No girls allowed. The supervisor one day comes and he, every day we are coming in and going out together. So that time he didn't say anything. So the day he saw me alone, when she was not there with me, he's calling me aside and saying, Ajit, there's one lady coming to your house all the time. She's staying. It's a big problem. They won't allow her. And he specifically mentioned, like, you know, lady, like, you know, as if I'm bringing some commodity home that I'm not supposed to bring and it's illegal.
Oh, my gosh.
And the lady is the bad influence on the neighbors.
A girl can't bring a guy in, a guy can't bring a girl in.
Being an unmarried couple and searching for a flat in Mumbai, it is just a bad plan waiting to happen.
Bombay is known for this big overwhelming city where it's welcoming people from every other corner of the country. And it's this big metropolitan and forward-thinking place. And no, I don't think it's actually that. It's all on the surface level. But when you break that surface and come inside, that's where everything is. That is the real Bombay for me.
So many people care about how you live. Building manager, the security, like the people who live there, the families, our flat owner, the flat owner's family, if that's an issue.
Actually, the guy who was staying before me in the apartment, he brought his girlfriend saying it's my sister. And then the society found out, called the owner, tell him this is not allowed, and he had to get him out of the house.
I've known of so many people who have built an elaborate web of lies and who have tried all of these hacks to just live. And I find it more tragic than anything. We just want to live with the people we love. How can this system of housing, deprive it of all its dignity, of all its sense of privacy?
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, there is a retired high court judge who's likening live-in relationships to social terrorism.
Jesus.
So when the society is calling for so many forms of social control, what do we do? The society that in housing terms has a specific meaning.
The residents in that flat, they make a committee of themselves. And they have a treasurer, a chairperson, and a society supervisor.
Do they have a president?
Yeah, there's a chairperson. There's a chairperson, there's a treasurer who looks...
There's a whole government system working and doing the thing it's allowed to do.
Yeah, that's why they have their own bylaws and everything. So they take care of all these things.
It's an actual functioning society.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure there's a justice system, which we are going through right now.
Yeah.
We are guilty until proven innocent.
Oh, you know this thing in Mumbai that before, there are many places where you'll be interviewed by the society before getting...
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah. I've seen that before.
So you knew all of these stories, but you did not take any of them as a cautionary tale.
I asked him that. I said, why don't we just live together? Because I had stayed over a couple times in the summer. So I've seen his house. I've been comfortable there. So... let's just live
and
there.
And I was like, no chance. You know what owner said. You know exactly what you know. I mean, then I said, like, how about we do this? Like, I'll tell my owner we are engaged. And I'll see what he says. He's in Dubai, so always it's through WhatsApp message how I contact him. So I said, hello, Sabio. The last 2 months has been pretty hectic and a turning point for me. Professionally as well as personally. I'm working on a dream project and also I got engaged. My fiance is from US. Because she doesn't know anyone in Mumbai, I really don't want to take the risk of her having to stay with random people. I wanted to request you if she can shift in with me. I know society, as you told me, will have issues with bringing girls, but a couple staying, they wouldn't mind, right? I don't even bring a single friend here anytime, nor do I party, nor drink, nor make a ruckus over here, no smoking, nothing. So I think you can convince the society of that. And he replies, let me think about it. I wrote this 500 word essay and he says, let me think about it. Oh my God. He took almost a month to respond. He said, okay, let me think. I need to ask my parents.
So even he needs to ask his parents. They just want proof that we're actually engaged, which is usually through religious ceremony or through some big party or through parents. That just some proof that we're actually engaged, meaning you're on the right path. Because usually you get married, especially if parents are involved.
And marriage obviously is the right path.
Yeah, marriage. The solution and the end of your life and the beginning of it is marriage.
Do your parents know that you guys...
No.
No way, Jose. I'm living with a girl named Advithi who works at the American Express Corporation building in Lower Parel in Mumbai, who is from a smaller Maharashtrian village about 5 hours away by train and travels nearly every weekend to see mom and dad. That is who I'm living with.
My parents know that Nicole is there, not in the house, but she's there in Mumbai, and I'm just staying with my friend as usual.
Nothing new in my life for my parents.
So what if they got to know for either of you?
Oh, I would be disowned, to be honest. So I'm not exaggerating.
My parents would be mad. And then I would try to make them understand, look, this was a situation. I had no other choice. We had no other choice.
Savio messaged me, haan, theek hai, it's fine. But only until your agreement expires. Fine, no problem, done. We'll figure out our life later.
So we have Savio, we have his parents, and we have our third magic broker,
the real estate agent.
So after 1 week of our stay, yeah, the society did call him, and there's some lady coming into your house. Yeah, like something suspicious, like some criminal coming, some activities going on. So then he came in, he's all full on fiery.
What's happening? Why am I getting all these calls, you know?
So I said, nothing happened. She's my fiancé. I already talked to Savio. He was like, okay, fine. So they had to bring in a check to see if what is happening around here.
I think they think we're a little loose, to be honest.
I don't think the society manager is still like happy or convinced.
No,
I'm pretty sure when we leave the apartment, they give that look, oh, these guys.
And sometimes, actually, when I say bye to Ajit at the door, he really distances himself from me.
When
every time I say bye at the front door,
Achha.
Like, we never hug at the front door. Obviously, we would never kiss. And because there's CCTV, first of all. Imagine if every time we left the house, the guards started watching us. Oh. Even sometimes when we get in an elevator and then another one person comes, you feel that too.
Oh my gosh.
They make it feel so awkward, and they just stare at us and then like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's happened to me so many times. There's just such a different energy in that elevator, right? Just suddenly.
You, when they come, it's like some magnetic current and oh no, what are they doing? Why are they here?
Oh man.
Yeah, it's as if I am suddenly made to question my presence in that elevator. Because I'm not married. I mean, not being married is probably the lowest form of citizenship.
Yeah.
I'm completely powerless as a tenant. Whatever money I'm able to afford, it doesn't even matter. Because it's ultimately about my status as a single woman. As somebody whose sexuality has not been tamed, presumably. That's why I'm such a risk, right? That's why I'm a constant threat.
You're listening to Fake Marriages for Real Homes with me, Shirley Abraham, part of the Neighbourhood series of programs, a BBC World Service Sundance Institute collaboration.
You know, sometimes if Ajit isn't home, I don't really like leaving the house all that much. It's just very annoying, like, to deal with all the looks, and I feel like the guards judge me in a certain way, and...
Yeah, I think it does terrible things to your self-esteem. You guys are living in a way that everybody knows that the two of you live here.
Yeah.
A lot of couples who are not married, they take the lease in one person's name and the other person cannot use that address as their official address. So,
yep.
You know, so their bank account is not up for the address. And then it moves on to other things like only one person can dry their clothes out in the sun. Because it gives away the fact that there is another person. Or only one person can answer the doorbell.
Yeah.
Only one person can be seen buying groceries. Only one person can be seen in that
in the home.
Setting. So eventually, you know, the other person really just confines themselves to the house. And it's just oppressive. I mean, you just reduce to a shadow. There are so many people like that.
Because home is a place where you come back to your own self and your own space and have that peace of mind, and if home doesn't give that, then you'll go mental. Everywhere, wherever you move through the country, it's the same problem. And for what? For nothing that you have done, but he falls into this category, so he is wrong or he is not doing right. Muslims are not allowed in most of the places, and you know, non-vegetarians are not allowed. So,
and the fact that I'm a foreigner doesn't help my situation in the sense that at least if I was Indian, they could say, maybe she's from this place, huh? Then her family's like this. Oh, what's her last name? Maybe she's from these kinds of people. But I'm very vague for them. So that's a little more troubling for them, I'm sure. I'm just too distant from anything their mind can imagine. So of course they're going to go to the worst place it can go, right? Because she's just this other weird entity that's really from another land. If I came here and I moved here and we moved in together, it's us living together. It's living, you know, it's not just, hey, can I crash on your couch? The time that we're investing together right now, which doesn't mean that we're married, but it means that we're investing in it together, it's a serious thing. And nobody wants to see that. Everybody just wants to wait until I have to leave. That's why it was decided first that when his lease is up, I'll leave. So it's a ticking time bomb.
He is not allowed to renew the lease if I'm living there. If I leave him, if I live in another flat, his flat owner said, you are more than welcome to renew the lease, but she's not allowed on my property. So that is why we're on a 2-week deadline.
I think everyone thinks I'm a liability. I think my family does. Sometimes my friends do. You shouldn't have done that from the beginning, Nicole. You knew that it was going to get this bad, whatever it is, you know? Like maybe being homeless in Mumbai. You shouldn't have moved there to begin with. You shouldn't have lived with a boy. You knew it was going to get this bad. I can just hear it now. So I think that's the only survival tip, is to just learn how to get through it and learn the best ways to get through it.
If you have to fake it, fake it.
Faking it on a legal level, right? Fake Mumbai marriage certificate. Mm-hmm. Wow. Marriage certificate, please. No place to live in sin in modern Mumbai. Modern Mumbai. How to make a printable fake marriage certificate, everydaylife.com. In this article, we will look at some creative uses for fake marriage, birth, and divorce certificates. They offer 11 free printable certificates. Wow, we should, you know, see one of these. And then look at the certificate. Okay, this is a blue abstract shape, and then one stamp is bright red, and then the other
that's
one...
That's the four lions.
That's the national emblem of India.
There you guys go. But see, this is where it gets tricky, no? The signature. It's easier solution in the sense that no one is harmed because it's just a fake legal paper, but have to impersonate a judge or impersonate an officer. Suspecting the presence of a thriving racket in fake marriage certificates in the city, the High Court has ordered a CBCID probe into the modus operandi of two organizations issuing marriage certificates resembling the ones issued by the sub-registrar's office. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. It's almost 5,000 rupees. They'll forge these documents, but no. They're so expensive. I think another tip is to just talk to people. I think people underestimate that, you know? Like, at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all can understand each other, no matter how...
No, I don't think you can talk to society people.
He
just
is
too grumpy.
So pessimistic, and I'm not. As someone who grew up in a marginalized community in America and then moved to India, where I am still an even bigger outsider... I still think you can manage to connect to people.
You can create relationship only if they... also allow us to do so, right? I mean, we can't force and we go and talk if they are always shutting the door on us. So we can't do that also, right? They also have to be open with us.
They're people, they understand, they enjoy drama too. We'll just make it a bit more dramatic and anyone will believe us. The other way is to, what, are we just going to buy up all the flats in Mumbai and suddenly, we run this place now. Hey, bring the drugs, bring the orgies. That's not likely. The likely thing is that old money runs the city and you have to impress or you have to get the approval of the old money, no?
As long as we are there in this, we are not doing anything to them, right?
But that's assuming that we are good people. We think we're good people. We are good people. But also, what if we weren't? Whatever that means, you know? What if Ajit was abusive? And we're unmarried. No one is there to protect me, right? Because I'm an unmarried woman. People are expecting us to fail. What if I was abusive to you? Do you know what I mean? So at some level, we can't always just say that we are the right ones and they are the wrong ones. There's a lot of gray area here. And yeah, that's just my point. He just thinks society is like Big Brother and this is that.
Ajit believes that this is beyond conversation. Because they've already decided what they want to believe. But do you think you might want to talk to them?
I would, but usually I do think that, right? I do think that I would love to talk to them, but I don't think any of them want to talk to me. So I'm just the only one dealing with them day in and day out. I don't say anything, which I feel really bad for. But even they don't want to ask me, so what can I do? They're not that interested.
there's some kind of restlessness saying, oh no, what to do. We just have like 14 more days now. And yeah. We don't have a place to live.
Today I am feeling like I am gonna be homeless. I'm gonna have to leave Ajit. That's what I'm feeling too. We're gonna have to separate. I don't have anyone as close as Ajit here. That's for sure for me. He might have his friends, luckily.
This, what I have with her, it's not something that I can share with anyone else. But what this is, it's something different only. And if it goes, it goes.
I don't know.
And it's like this sad, tragic movie, you know, very subtly, everything is normal.
Until someday
yeah.
We separate. We're being dramatic because, like, we're there every second together. Like, you know, in the way we want it to be. Like, you know, like in the morning, we make breakfast together. Why? Because we want to spend our morning together. I want to make tea and Ajit wants to make coffee and then we drink it together. It's an easy solution for me to leave. It's an easy solution for him and his flat owner. It's an easy solution for the society because they don't have to think about me and this liability or whatever. And it's an easy solution for me because of this insecurity and all these judgment feelings. And that's what made me mad, is that it's so easy to just take me out of my own home. They definitely want us to feel a certain way that you're not welcome here. And somehow you made it through the cracks. And that's where you'll stay, is in that crack.
They have this tradition from old age, you know. Oh, our ancestors told you this is how you have to do, study till this age, then, you know, then marry after this age and have a child and raise a family. And then, so when this thing is being changed, like, we don't want to marry, we want to stay single, we want to stay like with someone. It's like, how is that possible? You know, oh, sex only after marriage. Oh, you had sex before only. So all this thing, I think it's all this tradition and religious beliefs, you know, tying people down, and they just don't want to think that there can also be something beyond that, you know.
Live-in relationships are actually not new to India.
Hmm.
It was back in 1978, I think. There was a couple who had been living together for 50 or 40 years without getting married. And they came to the court and said, you have to legalize this relationship.
Okay.
So the court observed that this kind of a relationship might be immoral for society, but it's not illegal in the eyes of the law. And so they said it is valid. But the court still used the framework of marriage to justify it.
Hmm.
They said that because it is like a marriage, it is a valid relationship.
Yeah, that's true. It can't exist on its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can't be another thing. You see, it has to be filtered through that mass way of thinking for anyone to find logic through it. And
that's
the only
always
way.
The base.
That's like, why we're fiancé, right? If we can't be together. We can't just sleep in this bed. We have to be someone who's headed towards marriage.
Because he also has a love story that is, like, you know, he's been hiding from his parents.
I had so no idea, like, huh? What?
Yeah. I did tell you about it.
Oh,
yeah.
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. Okay.
So I played that little bit in my love letter. So I say, hello, Savio. I'm telling you this because I know you will very well understand my situation and you have been in a similar situation. I really hope you can help us out and find some solution to this.
So finally, we were able to convince our flat owner through this dramatic, epic tale that we were star-crossed lovers and that this is the only refuge we have for our love story, which I think he identified with. So
we are eloping. So parents didn't allow, huh? I said, yeah, that's so sad. So we're just trying to, you know, like slowly convince. And you're like, are, I'm all for this. I don't know what these people are doing, all these problems. And, you know, you all stay bindas over here. Don't worry and this that.
And we got lucky, I guess, that they're understanding.
Here, at least there's this option that I can speak with him and try this, you know.
I'm an option, huh? Did you hear that, BBC?
No, not you are an option. The landlord was an option.
I guess because we're all just hopeless romantics. When will we have peace?
Never. Love is not meant for us or other people to have peace.
No, we have to marry. Then we are fine. Then we'll have all the peace in the world.
But the idea of love, I think, equals the idea of resistance. I mean, look at all the love stories that you remember. These were people who rebelled. And why were they rebels? Because they made their own choices.
Because of love.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you have any comments or questions or would like to just let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Once again, pcjmedia@gmail.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, just reminding you that you can tune in 3 times daily to Focus Asia Pacific if you live in the Pacific region, which includes Australia and New Zealand, as well as parts of East Asia. So, until next time, so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.